It's a busy time under the dome in Lansing, just 2 weeks after the historic defeat of a road funding proposal that would have altered the Michigan Constitution. House Democrats and Republicans are talking about and offering competing road funding plans. The GOP plan would shift revenue to a transportation fund by various means. That would include siphoning funds from tribal casino revenues and eliminating their earned income tax credit. Meanwhile, one Democratic proposal would raise the gas tax by 15 cents per gallon over the next 3 years. The Democratic caucus has not yet proposed a single plan as of yet. Sam Singh now serves as the Democratic floor leader in the House. He represents East Lansing, of course, and is the former mayor of East Lansing. Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
Last week, Republican House Speaker Kevin Cotter revealed a road funding proposal. I'd like to hit just a few key points in that plan, and why don't I get just briefly your response to each one of these components. It would redirect a number of restricted funds, $75 million from the state's tobacco settlement, $60 million from the tribal gaming compact. Any thoughts on that approach?
Well, again, I think when you take a look at a number of these restricted funds, we have to take a look at what we need to do legislatively to shift the burden. Some of the restricted funds, including the MEDC funds for business attraction and so forth, the governor is opposed to those. And so I don't know how we can legislatively get that done without the governor's support. When you take a look at the tribal casinos, we're right now in negotiations, the governor is, with the tribal casinos over the compacts that they have with the state of Michigan. And so I don't think it's the appropriate time to be taking a look at that revenue, though I'm not opposed to looking at that revenue long term. But I think overall, when I looked at the Speaker's plan and the Republican House plan, you know, I was most disturbed by the fact that they were going to raise taxes on minimum wage workers by eliminating the earned income tax credit. And my question back to them was, you gave very generous tax cuts to CEOs and businesses here in the state. Why aren't we asking them to do more? But you're asking these minimum wage workers to do more. At the same time, you don't ask anything else from the business community. And I didn't think that was fair.
Back to the economic development dollars here, $50 million in film incentives would just go away under Mr. Cotter's plan.
Well, we actually already did that about a month ago. We passed a budget out of the House with the elimination of the film credits. So that's actually accounted for within the GOP budget that came out of the House. So in this case, along with another case, they're actually double counting money. When they get to their magic number of $1 billion, they've already cut the $50 million out of the budget. So they don't actually have that to spend next year. So that's a double counted number, unfortunately.
And the governor is also seems to be more in favor of a gradual reduction of film incentive dollars.
I think that's right. I've not had a conversation with his staff or his team about that specifically, but that has historically been his context, a slow decline versus an automatic cut.
It also earmarks projected growth in general fund revenue, and this has created an awful lot of discussion. We are apparently looking at we're entering a period or in a period of increasing revenues in the state, and he would earmark 60% or so of that toward road funding. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think anyone is opposed if there is additional revenue that's coming into the state that we dedicate that to the roads. But there's one thing that you can't do is you can't bind a future legislature. So he has to actually create some kind of mechanism or change something within the law that would force that to happen in the future. And I've told people, listen, we thought we had a balanced budget last year in December. We came back in January and we had a $460 million deficit. So within a month or two, you can see swings from, you know, a budget surplus to a budget deficit. It just happened a couple months ago. And so to somehow think that you're going to have $700 million somewhere down the road, to me, you know, I'm not surprised that a lot of the editorials from across the state have called it a fantasy, not called it a real plan. And so, you know,
is it primarily because of the revenue business?
Yeah, because it's not not dedicated. Yeah. It's not long-term. It's not guaranteed. And if you want to solve a problem, which the experts tell you is a $2 billion a year problem, you need to have long-term dedicated revenue. And that's what one of the principles that we have as House Democrats as we go into negotiation is this has to be a long-term and there should be a dedicated revenue. So you can't actually in 1 year or another legislature take that money away. It should be dedicated towards the roads.
As we pointed out, the Democratic caucus has not yet proposed a single plan. But what are some of the ideas you're hearing that you're more encouraged about?
Listen, we've been talking about this for years. So to me, to have a formal plan is not what is the next step. The next step is to get the four leaders, the two leaders in the House, the two leaders in the Senate, and the governor, the quadrant as they call them, get them together and start having conversations and hash out a plan. We did this last December. We were ready, many of us, to take a look at the Senate Republican plan that the governor supported. So we are very much on public record saying that we support a number of opportunities to fix the roads. The point of putting up a fake plan that I don't think has real revenue attached to it doesn't really help the conversation move forward. Get the leaders in a room with the governor, start negotiating so we can actually have a plan in June. I think we can get this resolved by June 30th. We've studied this for over a decade. We know what the issues are. There's only four or five ways to raise revenue, four or five ways to cut areas of the budget to make the roads package work. So why don't we get those leaders in a room and hammer it out?
You know the quadrant leaders have not yet formally sat down with the governor or even amongst themselves and talked about
this yet? Well, they might
have
had some individual conversations with themselves, but I'm not under the understanding that there's been a formal quadrant meeting with the four leaders and the governor to specifically start hammering out roads. If it's happened, I'm not aware of it.
What do you make of Governor Snyder's proposals yesterday on criminal justice reform? Specifically, he made a call for more alternative sentencing, and we'll double back on roads here because the corrections budget ends up being talked about as a potential solution to roads. But first of all, just more alternative sentencing in Michigan.
Well, I welcome it. These aren't necessarily new proposals coming from the governor. These have been ideas that have been discussed, I think, over the last 20 years. We know that we're putting more into corrections than we are doing into education. And it's obviously been something that has been a large concern. The corrections budget is just growing at such a rapid pace. And so the only way you actually make cuts to that is that you take a look at your sentencing guidelines, you take a look at alternative sentencing measures, those that don't have a violent history, those that are needing to do time but don't have a violent record. Let's put them into some type of alternative sentencing. Let's have them in the community versus the very expensive jail area where you're paying about $35,000 per year to house an inmate. I think we can do really good things. And you take a look at the other states in the Midwest, they don't put the same level of money into corrections as we do because they have different sentencing guidelines than we do here in Michigan.
It's a budget of over $2 billion a year. More people are saying there are dollars there that really ought to be freed up for roads and infrastructure. Are you inclined to agree with that?
Absolutely. Whether it's for the roads or whether it's for education, we've been talking about this issue that we're putting too much money into corrections when we should be utilizing those dollars and resources elsewhere within the budget. So I think a number of the proposals that were brought forward by the governor will have bipartisan support, and I'm pleased that he was able to address that yesterday.
When do you expect Democrats to offer an actual proposal with all kinds of moving parts to it?
Well, again, to me, it's a negotiation stage. I don't think we gain anything by throwing out proposals. In the sense that the Republican proposal was a non-starter, no one downtown is taking it seriously, not even their Senate counterparts. So what I want is that all the four leaders go into the room and start negotiating. We know where we were in December. All those four leaders were here at that point in time. Let's take a look at the plans that were part of the conversation, including the Republican Senate plan, and start that conversation. I don't think you need to have five competing plans to go into negotiations. When you know all the facts, you go into negotiations and you start hammering out a deal.
Democratic State Rep. Sam Singh of East Lansing is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. Are House Democrats open to a cut, not an elimination, but to a cut to the earned income tax credit?
Absolutely not. Again, when the governor came in 2011, he took the earned income tax credit from 20% to 6% of the federal level. So the working poor, minimum wage workers have already taken a substantial cut. And so why do we want to cut anymore? Again, the economy is getting better, but it's getting better for those that are in the upper middle class and above. And so I do believe that the earned income tax credit is there to help support those that are working, try to make a little better living. I think when you go back to the road conversation, we should be asking more from the business community who got very significant, generous tax cuts. They should also be paying their fair share. And I think whatever formula that comes out in the end, I want to make sure that it's fair, that it is user-based, and those are the types of things that I'm going to be looking for in a package.
Politically, though, where is the future there, getting the business community to pony up more? I mean, the numbers would seem to be against you right now, just in terms of GOP majorities.
Well, again, you know, the question is, I think there has to be a balanced approach. You know, I listened to the Michigan Chamber and the Small Business Association of Michigan, and they say these are the number one priorities of their members. And so the question is, can we find a compromise that has everybody paying a little bit more and their fair share? I think that's the most reliable thing to do. And, you know, while we're waiting to get that final negotiation done, there's things that we can do right now. I heard loud and clear, and I think my colleagues did across the state, that let's cut down on truck weights. Why is Michigan the only state that has double the federal limit on truck weights? Right now, trucks are paying a different diesel tax rate than we are as average citizens. I think you can do a number of things. Our bills are already in the legislature, and we can actually begin to make sure that the trucking industry pays their fair share and do that right now as we try to finalize a long-term deal.
My guest today has been 69th District State Representative Sam Singh, the Democrat from East Lansing. We've been talking about, well, I expected to get more issues into this conversation, Sam, but Rhodes kind of blows everything else out of the water. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.